Have you ever wondered why, despite your best efforts, financial freedom seems perpetually out of reach? Perhaps the answer lies not in what you need to learn, but in what you need to unlearn. Vanessa Stoikoff's The Breakfast Club for 40-somethings offers a compelling narrative that challenges our most fundamental beliefs about money. This book has become a quiet sensation among Generation X professionals, with celebrities like Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman reportedly recommending it to friends facing midlife financial crises. Unlike traditional finance books that focus on investment strategies or budgeting techniques, Stoikoff's novel approach uses relatable characters to illuminate how our childhood money stories sabotage our adult financial decisions. As the founder of No More Practice Education, which trains over 20,000 financial professionals, Stoikoff brings insider knowledge wrapped in an engaging story that makes complex financial concepts accessible. The book's cultural impact stems from its revolutionary premise: financial freedom requires unlearning before learning can begin. Our financial behaviors are deeply rooted in our past experiences, shaped by our parents, community, and media consumption. After 24 years in financial services, Stoikoff has identified five critical money pillars that people need to unlearn before achieving financial freedom: desire, focus, time, belief, and action. Desire involves distinguishing between genuine needs and fleeting wants. Many of us make financial decisions that create debt-induced stress rather than investing in sustainable happiness. We've been conditioned to believe that immediate gratification through consumption will fulfill us, when research consistently shows that experiences and financial security provide longer-lasting satisfaction than material possessions. Focus requires clarity about what truly brings long-term happiness instead of chasing momentary pleasures. Many people drift through their financial lives without a clear destination, reacting to immediate circumstances rather than creating intentional financial strategies. This lack of focus often results in scattered investments, inconsistent savings habits, and missed opportunities for wealth creation. Time represents our most misunderstood resource. We either overestimate it, neglecting retirement planning until it's nearly too late, or undervalue it, gambling on get-rich-quick schemes rather than embracing compound growth. Our perception of time dramatically impacts financial decisions, whether we're willing to delay gratification, how we evaluate investment horizons, and when we begin serious retirement planning. Belief encompasses our deep-rooted money mindsets formed in childhood. These often become self-fulfilling prophecies. If you grew up hearing, "we can't afford that," or "money doesn't grow on trees," you might subconsciously create financial limitations even when opportunities arise. These beliefs operate below conscious awareness, silently directing our financial behaviors and outcomes. Action challenges us to move beyond financial habits learned from our parents and develop personalized strategies for achieving financial freedom. Without deliberate action, even the best financial knowledge remains theoretical. Many people understand what they should do financially, but remain paralyzed by fear, confusion, or competing priorities. These five pillars provide the framework through which we'll explore the characters' journeys and perhaps recognize our own financial blind spots along the way. The six main characters in The Breakfast Club for 40-somethings represent different financial archetypes we might recognize in ourselves or others. Each character's financial situation reflects how their upbringing, social position, and self-image have shaped their money decisions, both conscious and unconscious. Karen and Russ Douglas, high school sweethearts, now in their 40s, appear to have it all: three children, a $2.5 million home with a $700,000 mortgage, and a seemingly stable life. Yet beneath this veneer of middle-class success lies financial fragility. Karen manages the household finances and knows exactly how precarious their situation is, while Russ remains largely unaware, dreaming of career changes that could jeopardize their financial stability. Josephine projects the image of a wildly successful businesswoman with her $10 million events company, designer wardrobe, exotic travels, and Aston Martin convertible. Despite her impressive $500,000 annual income plus bonuses, she's highly leveraged with property investments and feels increasingly empty about her material achievements. Her financial decisions are driven by appearance and status rather than security or fulfillment. Jasper represents the eternal Peter Pan, charming, good-looking, but perpetually broke. Living in his childhood bedroom at his mother's house, though he tells women he's just visiting to help his widowed mother, Jasper lives paycheck to paycheck, frequently borrowing money and relying on his mother to bail him out of financial troubles. His financial immaturity stems from never having developed a vision beyond his failed football dreams. Jane, a divorced single mother with twin daughters, earns $90,000 as in-house counsel at a law firm while working reduced hours to accommodate school pickups. Despite her professional career, she's financially vulnerable with no savings after selling her house to pay off her ex-husband's debts. She rents a two-bedroom apartment near her parents and worries about inadequate retirement funds. Brad, a billionaire tech entrepreneur, represents extraordinary financial success but emotional poverty. His meticulously managed life includes a staff of seven who run his estate, but he avoids emotional entanglements and family relationships, having spent 20 years obsessively building his business. His cold, analytical approach focuses not on winning, but on avoiding loss. Through these characters, we see how financial circumstances often reflect deeper psychological patterns and unexamined beliefs rather than simply income levels or financial knowledge. The 25-year high school reunion serves as the catalyst that brings these characters together, creating a space where carefully constructed personas begin to crumble. As they reconnect, the contrast between their youthful expectations and middle-aged realities becomes painfully apparent. Karen arrives feeling self-conscious about her weight gain and $120 ASOS dress, especially compared to her glamorous friend Josephine, who casually drops $7,000 on designer clothes as business expenses. Russ hopes for a night of relaxation away from work pressures. Jasper aims to impress Jane while hiding his financial failures. Josephine obsesses about seeing Brad again, her university sweetheart who broke her heart when he left for Silicon Valley. Brad dreads the event, but is curious about Josephine. When Brad enters the reunion, all heads turn, his billionaire status creating an immediate stir. After awkward introductions, marked by intense eye contact between Brad and Josephine, the group eventually breaks away from the main event. They find themselves in their old school gym, accessing it through a secret passage Brad remembers from their school days. This setting, away from the performative space of the main reunion, creates an environment where authenticity becomes possible. When Jasper produces a flask of tequila and suggests playing truth or dare, the game becomes a vehicle for revealing vulnerabilities that would otherwise remain hidden behind social masks. The scene perfectly captures how middle age often forces a reckoning between who we thought we'd become and who we actually are. Each character has achieved certain aspects of success while failing in others, creating a complex tapestry of accomplishment and disappointment that resonates with readers navigating their own midlife assessments. Under the influence of tequila and marijuana, the characters' carefully constructed facades crumble, revealing the painful truths they normally hide from others and often from themselves. This pivotal scene transforms the book from a simple reunion story into a profound exploration of how our relationship with money reflects our deeper values, fears, and unexamined beliefs. Karen confesses her biggest regret is giving up her career, surprising Russ, who assumed she enjoyed being a stay-at-home mother. Her admission reveals how financial arrangements in marriages often involve unspoken sacrifices and resentments that fester over time. Karen's identity has been subsumed by her role as family housekeeper, leaving her wondering about her future options as her children grow increasingly independent. Jane reveals the painful truth about her abusive marriage and her deep shame about staying in it for so long. Her story illustrates how financial dependence can trap people in harmful situations and how the aftermath of such relationships creates long-lasting financial vulnerability. Despite her professional career, Jane's divorce left her financially starting over in her 40s. Jasper acknowledges being a 43-year-old loser living with his mother in his childhood bedroom. His confession strips away the charm and excuses he typically uses to mask his financial immaturity. His situation reflects how early setbacks, like his failed football career, can create lifelong patterns of financial avoidance and dependency if not consciously addressed. Russ admits lying awake at night, hating his job, but feeling trapped by financial responsibilities. His confession highlights how provider pressure can lead to soul-crushing career choices and the particular burden men feel to sacrifice fulfillment for financial stability. Brad reveals that despite his billions, he envies Russ and Karen for having a family. His admission underscores how financial success alone doesn't create a meaningful life, and how single-minded pursuit of wealth often comes at the expense of relationships and personal fulfillment. Josephine acknowledges her business success feels hollow, revealing the emptiness that can accompany achievement without purpose or connection. Her expensive lifestyle has become a treadmill, requiring constant income to maintain rather than a source of genuine satisfaction. This raw honesty creates space for Ben Jameson, a financial planner among the group, to offer insights that might help them identify what's holding them back. The scene powerfully illustrates how financial challenges often stem from deeper issues than simple knowledge gaps or income limitations. Ben Jameson, a successful financial planner who attended the same high school, becomes the group's guide through the process of financial unlearning. Rather than offering generic financial advice, Ben helps each character identify which specific unlearn pillar is most holding them back. Starting with desire and focus, Ben explains that most people concentrate only on immediate needs rather than considering larger life goals. This resonates particularly with Jasper, who admits he's never developed a vision beyond his failed football dreams, and with Jane, whose focus has narrowed to mere survival since her marriage ended. For the time pillar, Brad surprisingly admits this is his weakness. Despite his financial success, he spent all his time working with no family relationships. When Ben reveals that Brad's mother has advanced cancer, information Brad didn't know due to his limited communication with his parents, Brad is forced to confront the true cost of his time allocation decisions. The belief pillar examines how childhood experiences shape financial mindsets. Karen admits she never believed she could earn money, having absorbed limiting beliefs about women's earning potential. Russ works excessively hard to prove his mechanic father wrong about his capabilities, showing how childhood messages can drive adult behaviors even when they're no longer serving us. Finally, Ben emphasizes action as the essential component without which no financial transformation can occur. He offers practical next steps for each person, helping Jane develop an affordable financial plan, encouraging Karen to pursue her business idea, and prompting Russ to better understand his wife's needs. This framework provides a powerful lens through which readers can examine their own financial behaviors. Rather than focusing solely on financial techniques or investment strategies, Ben's approach addresses the psychological foundations that determine whether financial knowledge will actually translate into changed behavior and improved outcomes. In a pivotal scene around midnight, Ben retrieves his carefully preserved high school yearbook, revealing predictions he'd written for each classmate's future. This moment becomes a catalyst for deeper reflection on how life's trajectories can shift dramatically from our early expectations, and how these forgotten paths might hold keys to financial renewal. Ben's predictions, written in faded blue ink on the yearbook's margins, demonstrate remarkable insight into his friend's core strengths. For Jasper, rather than predicting NFL stardom, Ben had written, "Future coach/teacher will inspire others through sports." This prediction highlights how Jasper's true talent may have always been in mentoring and guidance rather than professional athletics. His current financial struggles as a former athlete trying to maintain a luxury lifestyle contrasts sharply with this simpler, more authentic career path. For Jane, Ben's prediction of corporate lawyer fighting for justice in designer heels proved remarkably accurate, yet the prediction included an additional note about her being someone who helps others navigate complex systems, suggesting potential beyond traditional corporate law that she hasn't fully explored. This insight becomes particularly relevant as she grapples with rebuilding her career after her firm's collapse. Karen's prediction read, "Creative director, making beauty from chaos," a path she abandoned for practical reasons to become an accountant. The yearbook reveals her early portfolio of hand-drawn advertising concepts, sparking a discussion about how her creative skills might enhance her current career rather than being viewed as irrelevant to financial success. When pressed about his predictive abilities, Ben shares his methodology, observing people's natural behaviors when they think no one is watching. He noticed how Jasper would spontaneously help younger students with sports techniques, how Jane naturally mediated playground disputes, and how Karen transformed every group project into a visual masterpiece. This attention to authentic behavior patterns informs his current approach to financial planning, where he helps clients align their financial decisions with their genuine interests and abilities. The yearbook becomes a mirror reflecting not just lost opportunities, but hidden strengths. Through discussing these predictions, the group realizes that financial reinvention might require excavating buried talents rather than purely focusing on new skills or strategies. Each prediction reveals a pattern of natural abilities that could be monetized or redirected toward more fulfilling and sustainable career paths. As dawn approaches, the group finds themselves sprawled across Ben's living room furniture, feeling simultaneously nostalgic and energized about the future. Jasper's comparison to the Breakfast Club resonates deeply, particularly when Karen quotes the movie's famous line about screws falling out. This reference takes on new meaning in their context. Financial setbacks, like loose screws, are inevitable, but understanding one's authentic self provides the foundation for rebuilding. The morning after their revelations, the characters begin the challenging process of translating insights into concrete actions. This section demonstrates how financial transformation requires both emotional honesty and practical implementation. Neither is sufficient alone. Karen, energized by her newfound ambition, envisions creating an online community offering advice to other mothers. She cleverly leverages her family's talents. Her tech-savvy son, Nate, offers to build her website, while her fashion-conscious daughter, Bella, volunteers as her stylist. This represents a perfect example of recognizing and utilizing resources already available rather than focusing on limitations. Russ reconsiders his career ambitions, wondering if pursuing funds management might sacrifice precious time with his rapidly growing children. His shift in perspective demonstrates how clarifying values can lead to different financial decisions, even when income potential might be reduced. Jasper, after an honest conversation with his mother about his situation, commits to pursuing education to become a PE teacher or coach. His decision illustrates how aligning financial goals with authentic interests and abilities creates sustainable motivation that mere financial ambition cannot. Brad decides to base his headquarters in Sydney for the next month to spend time with his dying mother and explore his rekindled relationship with Josephine. His choice shows how even the wealthiest individuals need to consciously realign their resources with their values to create meaningful lives. Each character schedules appointments with Ben for personalized financial guidance, recognizing that general insights must be translated into specific plans tailored to individual circumstances. This practical step acknowledges that financial transformation requires expert guidance alongside personal commitment. The characters' actions demonstrate that financial change involves both internal shifts in perspective and external changes in behavior. Neither is sufficient alone. Insight without action remains theoretical, while action without insight often addresses symptoms rather than root causes. The book provides detailed glimpses into Ben's financial planning sessions with each character, offering readers practical models for addressing common financial challenges. These scenes demystify the financial planning process while illustrating how personalized advice differs from generic financial tips. With Karen and Russ, Ben uses magnetic figurines on a whiteboard to guide them through estate planning, asking who would care for their children if something happened to them. This concrete approach transforms abstract financial concepts into emotionally meaningful decisions. When discussing life insurance, Russ realizes his $1 million policy is inadequate given their $700,000 mortgage and $94,000 in annual expenses. This calculation provides readers with a practical framework for evaluating their own insurance needs. Ben's session with Jane and her parents addresses intergenerational wealth transfer, a topic rarely discussed in families. When her parents mention leaving their $1.8 million house to Jane someday, Ben suggests they consider downsizing sooner to help Jane now rather than decades later. This conversation illustrates how financial planning can optimize resources across generations rather than following default patterns. With Jasper and his mother Isabel, Ben navigates the unexpected revelation that a developer has offered $800,000 to subdivide their backyard. Rather than recommending property investment with the windfall, Ben suggests investments to support Jasper through school while boosting his retirement savings. This advice demonstrates how financial decisions should align with specific life goals rather than following generic investment rules. These detailed planning sessions provide readers with both specific financial strategies and a model for the kind of conversations they might have with their own financial advisors. By demystifying the planning process, the book empowers readers to seek professional guidance rather than feeling overwhelmed by financial complexity. In the book's final chapter, we see the characters 20 years after their reunion, illustrating how financial decisions compound over decades to create vastly different outcomes. This long-term perspective helps readers understand how seemingly small choices in their 40s can dramatically impact their 60s and beyond. Josie sold most of her business to staff and now runs Brad's philanthropic trust supporting young entrepreneurs. Their marriage represents a union of purpose rather than just financial resources, showing how aligned values create sustainable relationships. Karen's online business thrived, allowing Russ to become a university lecturer, a career more aligned with his values than his previous accounting job. They moved to the Central Coast, enjoying retirement with enough money to travel and support their grandchildren. Jane married a lawyer after amicably breaking up with Jasper, built substantial retirement savings, and saw her twins start a successful makeup business. Her story illustrates how financial recovery is possible even after significant setbacks in midlife. Jasper became a school soccer coordinator after dropping out of university, experienced a costly divorce, and now lives modestly in a townhouse bought with his late mother's inheritance. His path shows that finding purpose often matters more than achieving wealth. Ben remains connected to them all as chairman of a network of advice firms, representing the ongoing importance of financial guidance throughout life's transitions. Each year, the friends leave a message for others. If you're finding yourself in your 40s and wondering if this is it, know there's more. This affirming message encapsulates the book's central promise: financial reinvention is possible at any age when we're willing to examine and unlearn limiting beliefs. The 20-year perspective provides readers with hope that current financial challenges can be overcome with time, guidance, and consistent action aligned with authentic values. It also illustrates how financial decisions are ultimately about creating the life we want to live rather than simply accumulating resources. The Breakfast Club for 40-somethings offers a revolutionary approach to financial transformation by focusing on what we need to unlearn rather than what we need to learn. Each character's journey illustrates how specific unlearning pillars can unlock financial potential that was previously blocked by limiting beliefs, misaligned priorities, or unconscious patterns. Josephine needed to unlearn her association between spending and success, recognizing that her expensive lifestyle had become a burden rather than a source of fulfillment. Jasper had to unlearn his lack of focus and belief in his own potential, discovering that his natural talents could create both purpose and financial stability. Karen and Russ needed to unlearn time management approaches and childhood beliefs about money that were creating unnecessary stress and limitation in their lives. Brad learned that success means more than wealth accumulation, requiring conscious allocation of time and attention to relationships that matter. Jane had to broaden her narrow focus beyond immediate survival for her children to create long-term financial security for herself. The common factor in all their transformations was developing an action plan with the guidance of a knowledgeable financial advisor. This highlights perhaps the book's most practical message: financial transformation rarely happens in isolation. Most people benefit from professional guidance tailored to their specific circumstances, values, and goals. The characters' journeys mirror challenges many readers face in their own financial lives. By witnessing these transformations, readers can identify which unlearning pillars might be most relevant to their own situations and take concrete steps toward financial reinvention. The book's ultimate message is one of hope and agency. Regardless of past financial decisions or current circumstances, it's never too late to examine limiting beliefs, realign priorities, and take action toward greater financial freedom. The first step isn't learning new financial strategies, but unlearning the money stories that have been silently directing our financial lives all along.